Good afternoon from the magical isle of Vashon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on the Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. I've been sitting here listening to Susan and to her friend that she had on, Rita Brogan, talking about Mukai Gardens, which is a home that was built by the Mukai family, Japanese, that lived here on the magical isle of Vashon before World War II. And one of the things that Rita, who is herself American of Japanese extraction, and she's the executive director for the organization that now takes care of Mukai Gardens. And one of the things that they talked about was a haiku contest and festival, which is going to happen next month. And I am going to try my hand at seaman-like haiku. And I will, if I feel like it is good enough to pontificate on from the captain's chair, I will talk about it on the program. But I always enjoy, because I always come into the studio in time to listen to Susan, and I always enjoy what she is talking about and the people that she has on. This program was a particularly good one, and most of us who listen, most of us who are Captain Joe's people, have spent some time in one or more parts of Asia. And so I encourage you all to listen to Real Talk, which is the name of the program that comes on before I do. Greetings to the world, and this time from the captain's chair, once again, I have some sad news to talk a little bit about before we get into some of the more cheerful aspects of life. The Binnacle List, as we have talked about before, the Binnacle List has two ways that you can get off of it. And one of them, of course, is to recover. And the other one is to cross the bar. I had a telephone call from one of my XOs, who I have talked about frequently on this program. And I thought that maybe he was going to talk about one of our shipmates, which I hope I have time to talk about later on. Larry, who was my engineering officer in both Unimac and Reliance. But in fact, he called to tell me that the wife of one of my XOs, one of my other XOs, had crossed her bar. And so we talked a little bit about that. And I called XO, who had just lost his wife, and we talked a little bit. It is becoming far too frequent for me to talk about friends, shipmates, and in particular my XOs, because XOs and captains have a particularly symbiotic relationship, if it is a good relationship. Some of them are not very good. I have not had any that were really poisonous, although it has happened in the past, not in any of my ships and certainly not in any sailing that I did, but it does happen, but certainly not in my case. And so this XO, Arnie, was my XO in Reliance. And then he became a captain himself. And when I retired, I became an honored retiree, and I retired from Coast Guard headquarters. I did not want to retire from the Grange Hall or whatever awful place they had when they had retirement ceremonies for people retiring at Coast Guard headquarters. And so I asked my staff to see if they couldn't find one of the icebreakers that was in port, and I would go and have my retirement ceremony there. And the ship that was available happened to be under the command of my former XO, Arnie. And so my people organized it such that I would be retired on the quarterdeck of the Coast Guard cutter Mackinac in the Great Lakes. I owe Arnie and his XO, who I hope to have on this program, I owe both of them a huge debt of gratitude, because not only was the ceremony put together exactly the way that I wanted it, but it included side boys made up of friends, children of friends. And although not in complete compliance maybe with Coast Guard regulations, it just struck to my very heart. And so I said then, and I say now, that Captain Liddick and Captain Arnie, in his capacity as the commanding officer of one of the ships over which I had oversight and provided me with the retirement ceremony, that it was exactly the way that if I had to retire, that was the way that I wanted it done. It is true that I keep waiting for that letter from the commandant saying, "Captain Joe, all is forgiven. Come back on active duty and save the icebreaker fleet." But in all those years since that ceremony on Arnie's quarterdeck, I have not received that letter, and now I suspect that it is never going to arrive. But in the meantime, the icebreaker fleet has been allowed to deteriorate down to just two ships, one Healy, of whom I am the sea daddy, and Polar Star, which has just come back from the Arctic and is now getting herself ready to go south for Operation Deep Freeze for next year, this winter coming up. So when I was told that Arnie's wife, Penny, had crossed her bar, I was particularly sad, not only for the loss of a friend, but the wife of a friend, the wife of an XO. All of these things put together just added to my disquietude over a couple of other things that have happened, and in particular, these terrible shootings that have now taken place in the week since we all got together. There's got to be an end to all of this. And so I keep doing what I have decided is the best thing that I can do, and that is to continue to pontificate about all of us taking care of each other in the small area in which we have some, influence. And that is the theme from when I began talking from the captain's chair on this program, for which I am enormously grateful to the voice of Vashon to continue to allow me to do this. So I continue to advocate for all of us doing what we can within the area in which we do have some influence and in which we do have some, where we can make a difference, and stop worrying about those things about which we no longer have any influence. So we move on from there, and to both of my exos, both of whom have lost their wives now, the hand of your captain is out to you. One of the things that we have talked about here before, and we're going to talk about again, is this idea that we accept responsibility. When you know that when you assume command and you say, "Sir, I relieve you," you then take everything that happened in that command, everything that, no matter whether you had any responsibility for it or not, once you say, "Sir, I relieve you," you also accept responsibility and accountability for all of those things that happened before you. It is now your ship. It is now your crew. It is now your families for whom you are responsible and accountable. And you can't look around and say, well, that one didn't happen on my watch, boss. At least not in my world. You don't get to do that. So I am weary. I weary to exhaustion listening to politicians in particular say that happened on the administration of, and then go all the way back if you want to Warren Harding. But you go back a long way, and or you go back to the administration that just ended on the 20th of January of this year, and you say, we inherited this, or we, that happened, didn't happen with us. No siree. You don't get to do that. You don't get to say no more. You don't get to say any more. I try to do my grammar correctly. I was educated by the holy nuns in the Catholic system, and they were sticklers for that sort of thing. So I try to get it right. But no longer do you get to say, well, that one happened. We inherited this. Doesn't matter what you inherited. Once you, as the commander-in-chief, hold up your hand and take that oath, it then becomes your problem. So let's knock off all this business about saying, well, it happened on, we inherited that. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way in my world. Doesn't work that way in my ships. Doesn't work that way in my family. And so my pontification about that this morning or this afternoon is, doesn't happen here on the magical Isle of Vashon as well. In getting into things that are a little bit more cheerful and a little bit more in keeping with the way that I always hope that the captain's chair is, it makes you feel just a little bit better about yourself and a little bit better about the world in which we live. Right now, there is no ship on the anchorage, the federal anchorage, right off of Captain's Quarters. But there was up until yesterday or day before yesterday. And she was a bulk carrier, but she had a very interesting configuration. First of all, she had cranes so that she could list her own hatch covers. But the other thing was that along the side, she had these vertical timbers. And those timbers looked to be about 20 feet high from the main deck bulwark. And they were spaced at about 20-foot intervals from the forecastle, the bow, all the way back to the after superstructure. And so everyone who saw that ship was thinking to themselves, Captain Joe will say something about this, because it's not all that common that we see a ship that's rigged like that. The reason that she has those vertical timbers is that she is rigged to carry logs. And those logs are stacked up along the main deck. And they are held from rolling overboard by those vertical timbers. And she is probably headed to either Japan or to Taiwan. She wasn't on the anchorage long enough for me to look her up on marine traffic to see exactly where she was headed once she left Tacoma. It's possible also, she was not a particularly large ship. It's possible also so that she was headed down to Olympia. And in Olympia is one of the log loading ports here in Puget Sound. So my guess is that she was headed to Olympia, that she was going to load raw logs. She was going to take them to Japan or to Taiwan, where she would, where the logs would be turned into construction materials and possibly even plywood. One of the things that we've talked about a couple times on this program are all of those containers that washed overboard, and I speculated on what might be in some of those containers. And I follow a very eclectic range of interests. And one of the interests that I follow on I am reluctant to say this word, but you all already know my secret that I do indeed occasionally check YouTube. And so on YouTube, there was a clip from a model shop, a shop here in America that sells model kits. And the owner of the model shop on this YouTube broadcast, YouTube clip, was bemoaning the fact that he was missing a shipment. And he was speculating that the shipment was in one of the containers. Now, those who are not modelers, and I no longer am one, but those people who are modelers, and in particular plastic model kits that are very intricate and then are added to by the builder such that the result is extremely complex and extremely realistic. And many of those kits come from a company called Tamiya in Japan. And so the owner of this model shop was speculating on the probability that some of his shipment was bobbing around in the Northwest Pacific Ocean. A subsequent clip, I then went to part two of his clip. The subsequent clip said that he had just been notified by his shipper, to vast relief, that his shipment was not in any of those containers that are bobbing around. It's still some of them in the Northwest Pacific. So, great relief in the modeling community. All is well there. But now we know that at least in some of those containers, there are thousands and thousands of plastic model kits that are not going to get to the model shops of America. The book for this week is A Gift from Stockholm. And it is the story of the first naval architect and his work. The book is by Daniel G. Harris. It is in English, but it came from Stockholm. And the inscription says, to Captain Joe, as a way to further strengthen the Vashon-Stockholm bonds. And it says, I found this out-of-print book, only one of its kind on this topic in English, in a wonderful nautical antique shop in the old town of Stockholm. The shop was tended by a grumpy old salt. I think that there is an analogy here that Professor Mark is trying to make. A grumpy old salt, and was packed full of authentic ship parts, models, compasses, prints, maps, and books. Next time you're here, it will be our first port of call. So I am planning to go to Stockholm sometime this year when we can travel again without restriction, and Professor and I will go together to this shop. But in the meantime, the book is about Frederick Heinrich af Chapman. Now, Chapman was a Swede, but he, of course, his father was, I believe, a Brit. I haven't for some time gotten into the depths of the book, but it is a wonderful book. It is full of drawings of sailing ships, and in particular, the ones that Chapman designed. He designed a second Vasa. The first Vasa, of course, rolled over in the 1600s, sank in Stockholm Harbor, has been raised, and is in a wonderful museum. And that museum, I have been with Mark, and the Vasa is... parts of her are irrigated so that she doesn't completely dry out. Anyway, if you go to Stockholm, you want to go to the Vasa Museum, and I will go there with Mark when the next time, just because it's a wonderful place for a sailor to go. And there's a lot of a lot more to the exhibit than just the 1600 Vasa. Chapman designed another Vasa later on in the 1700s, and the author of the book also gets into some of the politics. But the wonderful thing about Chapman is that he is the first one to have written down and to codify some theory rather than people's experience. Up until Chapman, people's experience in ship design was what kept them from rolling over. And so I recommend the book. If you can find a copy of it any place, then well done to you. But I will be talking some more about Chapman and about the contents of the book, because it is just, for a sailor, it is a wonderful piece of work. So thanks to Professor Mark for that. And we will, the Vasa that was lost, she was lost in 1628. She rolled over. And she was raised in 1961, and the museum is in Stockholm. Incidentally, another wonderful ship, Fram, which was the ship that Amundsen used to go to Antarctica to make his run to the South Pole, is also a museum ship, and she is in the Fram Museum in Oslo, and right in front of her is a bronze statue of Amundsen, and the nose of the statue is kept polished shiny because children will go up to it and rub the nose of Amundsen, whose bust it is, his head, which is right in front of Fram. You can get down underneath her and you can see the classic icebreaker hull form. The Royal Research Ship Sir David Attenborough. She was running her trials in Scotland in February, and she had a lifeboat accident. And I bring her up because she belongs to the British Antarctic Survey. And the British Antarctic Survey has its headquarters in Cambridge. It was headed at one time by my good and now late friend, Sir Vivian Fuchs. And the Sir David Attenborough is the newly constructed, newly commissioned research vessel, which the Antarctic Survey is going to be operating in the Antarctic. And she is a very workmanlike ship. You can call her up, go on to any good search engine and call her up, and you'll see a photograph of her. And she's a very workmanlike ship. She's not a full icebreaker the way that we think of Polar Star or the Russian nuclear ships like Artica, Artica 1 and Artica 2. But she has a wonderful workmanlike look to her, and I look forward to hearing about all of her adventures as she goes to work in the Antarctic. I have made a decision to improve my cardiac abilities. And so I went to and consulted with my physician colleague and friend who lives next door, and from whose household comes an inexhaustible supply of cats, two of whom are in residence in Captain's Quarters, Sunshine and Sailor. So I asked him, I said, I'm thinking about getting a treadmill to improve the ability of the legs to keep on going. And he said, well, maybe a treadmill is not the right thing for you because there's some impact. And over the years, hurricanes and typhoons have taken their toll on your captain's legs. And so he said, maybe instead of a treadmill where you are actually running, you might want to consider a stationary bicycle. So I did consider that. I'm now giving you the visual description of your captain moving the captain's chair onto the seat of this stationary bicycle. It has not yet arrived. It comes with some sort of a little screen in front of it, and I don't know whether this screen is going to provide me with entertainment or whether it is just going to say that you are only going at half a knot or one knot and working my way up maybe to two knots. But whatever that little screen is going to disclose, I will report on that, and I will also report on my progress, should I make progress. Easy assembly is required, I am told, and so not only is easy assembly required, but I also am going to have to get that screen to tell me whatever it is that it is going to tell me. So I will let everybody know, all of Captain Joe's people, how all of this is working. Those of you who have been with me for a long time, and especially those of you who went to sea with me, know that my enthusiasm for formal exercise programs is almost zero. So it will be interesting to see how well I discipline myself to climb up onto the captain's chair on this stationary bicycle. We're now, before I run over, I've discovered, thanks to Susan's reminding me of this, that if I run over time, that all of the information after 1300, two bells of the afternoon watch, do not get carried over to the archive. So I am now going to say that it is time at the end of our time together for today, that once again, it is my wish, my desire, and my command from the captain's chair that everyone who has other people for whom they are responsible and accountable, now is the time for you to be taking care of all of those people. Watch their six, and know that your captain is up in the captain's chair on station and watching properly. We never say goodbye, we say until we meet again. And in particular to all of you who are on the binnacle list in some form, it doesn't have to be physical, it can be mental or emotional or financial, or you're just feeling crappy and you want a place on the binnacle list, and so your captain is paying attention to all of those things. Know that I am with you. Fear not. Know that I am with you in all things, and we will meet again right here from the captain's chair. Voice of Vashon 101.9 and streaming live on voiceofvashon.org.